Anden waited in the hallway until I was done, staring at something pink in his hand. "What's that?" I asked. Landon handed it to me.
"It's a ribbon."
I wrinkled my nose. "A ribbon? Where did that come from?"
"That's little Bay's hair ribbon,"
Landon replied.
"I shoved it in my pocket when we got interrupted. I found it there a second ago."
"But you're wearing scrubs," I pointed out.
"I know."
"We weren't physically there."
"I know that, too."
"But that's not possible," I said, running the ribbon through my fingers. It was real. It was the same color as the one little Bay tied in Landon's hair. There was no doubt it was the same ribbon, yet it couldn't be.
"Turn it over, Bay,"
Landon instructed. I did as he wanted and sucked in a breath when I saw the writing on the back. The lettering was careful and deliberate, and I recognized it from a box of cards Mom kept in her closet. I read the message out loud. "I'll see you in your dreams, sweet girl."
"Love, Grandma,"
Landon added. "Oh, wow."
"Yeah,"
Landon said, grabbing my hand.
"Come on, Hot Rose is waiting, and then we're going to bed for the rest of the weekend. I can't wrap my head around this without sleep."
I was awake long after Landon fell asleep. I was sure I would never drift off, but his soft snores finally lulled me, and I slept with him wrapped around me. I woke to him rubbing his nose against my cheek. "What are you doing?" I asked, instinctively pushing his face away. "That is not the way I like to wake up."
"I'm sorry,"
Landon said, a mischievous grin on his face.
"We're out of whipped cream."
"You're so sick," I said, although I couldn't stop myself from laughing. "He looks handsome in the morning." "Don't get me wrong, he always looks handsome. In the morning, though, his hair is tousled, and he has that seductive stubble that makes me weak in the knees." "What? I never claimed to be a feminist, or immune to his charms."
"Bay, we need to talk,"
Landon said. Usually those words would cause fear to well up in my chest, but surprisingly that fear was nowhere to be found this morning. "Do you want to talk about how little Bay's ribbon got in your pocket and how Grandma Ginger managed to write on it even though she wasn't really there? If so, I still don't have any answers. We're going to have to go to Aunt Tilly for those."
"Oh, no,"
Landon said, shaking his head.
"I'm over that. I don't understand half the things that happen in this family. I'm chalking it up to magic. Now you have a personal message from your grandmother, and we have a ton of memories to sift through. Some of them are even ours."
I knit my eyebrows, confused. I'm often muddled in the morning, but now I was especially befuddled. "What do you want to talk about?"
"It's my happy day today, Bay,"
Landon announced.
"All of my dreams have come true."
"Because you woke up with me?"
"Yes."
"You're so sweet," I said, cuddling closer. "Can't believe how sweet you are, in fact. You're so sweet, I'm going to give you a special gift this morning."
"You're definitely going to do that,"
Landon said, nuzzling his face in the crook of my neck.
"You're going to do it this afternoon, too. And tonight. In fact, you should just get naked now and prepare to go without clothing for the entire day."
"I see you're feeling ambitious," I said, giggling as his whiskers rubbed against my neck. "What puts you in this mood, if I might ask? Not that I mind. I love it when you're cuddly. Hey, did you just lick my neck?" Landon's grin was sheepish when he met my gaze.
"Maybe."
"Why would you... Oh, no."
"Oh, yes, sweetie,"
Landon crowed.
"Aunt Tilly got a revenge from her hospital bed overnight, and it's my favorite curse. Happy Landon Day."
He beat his chest. "No, really. This can't be happening," I muttered, lifting my arm in an attempt to smell myself. Yep, there it was. The unmistakable aroma of sizzling bacon wafted off of me. How did I miss that?
"Why?" "Because the universe, in the form of Aunt Tilly, wanted to pay me back for the hours upon hours of misery and abject distress she put me through yesterday,"
Landon replied.
"Get naked, woman. I'm not messing around."
He pulled at my top, but I wasn't ready to give in to his demands and rolled away from him. I'm going to cry. I swear, I'm going to cry.
Get naked first.
You said you don't like it when I cry, I protested. Was that a lie? Landon blew out a long-suffering sigh.
Sweetie, I hate it when you cry,
he said.
I love it when you smell and taste like bacon, though. I promise, your tears will be brief.
But... He shook his head to cut me off.
Strip.
I'm going to kill Aunt Tilly, I muttered, reaching for the back edge of my tank top so I could pull it over my head. This is unbelievable. Landon was not to be deterred.
Happy Landon Day, one and all.
Well, there are worse ways to spend a weekend. This has been A Witch in Time, a Wicked Witches of the Midwest fantasy, written by Amanda M. Lee, narrated by Leslie Ann Fogel. Copyright 2016 by Amanda M. Lee. Production copyright 2017 by Amanda M. Lee. Make a Witch, a Wicked Witches of the Midwest fantasy, written by Amanda M. Lee, narrated by Leslie Ann Fogel.
I wish that woman would either fall in a really deep hole or forget I exist. I'm honestly not sure which would be better.
Sam Cornell explaining why he's hiding behind a bush while Aunt Tilly walks across the street. 1.
Aunt Tilly!
My mother, Winnie Winchester, ambled into the Overlook's library and spared a glance at my cousin, Thistle and me. She appeared weary and distracted, which was unlike her. She was generally in full-on busybody mode where we were concerned, and the distracted nature of her countenance set my teeth on edge.
Have you seen Aunt Tilly?
That was a loaded question. Ever, or in the past few minutes? Instead of laughing or dismissing the question with a half-hearted wave, Mom narrowed her eyes to dangerous slits and glared at me.
Are you trying to make me angry? If so, good job. If not, well, be quiet.
Yeah, Bay, don't make her angry. Thistle teased, her eyes sparkling. You wouldn't like Aunt Winnie when she's angry.
That's right, Mom sniffed, tugging her apron to smooth it. You wouldn't like me if I'm angry, so live in fear.
Thistle, her expression impish, puffed out her chest and extended her arms as she energetically swiveled in her chair.
Aunt Hawk, mad.
I snorted out a laugh as Mom tilted her head to the side, realization dawning that Thistle was making fun of her rather than taking her side.
Yeah, I think I'm done talking to both of you.
Mom made an annoyed face, one I remembered well from my childhood, and heaved out one of those long-suffering sighs only a mother with a snarky child can muster.
Have you seen Aunt Tilly?
Instead of answering, Thistle dropped her arms and reached for the glass of wine she'd been sipping when Mom made her presence known.
You know she's like Bloody Mary, right? If you say her name enough times, she'll pop out of nowhere and start killing people.
I thought that was Candyman, I countered.
Where do you think the Candyman people got the idea?
That was a good question.
We should have a horror movie night, I suggested, opting to change the subject.
Thistle wasn't wrong about risking the wrath of Aunt Tilly. I figured the sooner we stop saying her name, the better. You're going to be moving out of the guest house in about a month, and that will be our last chance for a horror movie fest. We should get one in before we run out of time.
Thistle arched an eyebrow as she considered the possibility.
That's not a bad idea. We should call Clove to see if she wants to come over for a slumber party. We'll pick a night and keep the guys away so it will be just us girls. We can do mud masks and chocolate martinis, too.
That sounds good.
In truth, it sounded really good. Things were changing fast in the Winchester household. Thistle would soon be living with her boyfriend, Marcus, and my boyfriend, FBI agent Landon Michaels, would be moving in with me. The entire concept was dumbfounding.
Yes, you heard that right.
My name is Bay Winchester, and I'm a witch in love. After a fight that almost tore us apart, my boyfriend announced he was finally ready to share a roof. As soon as construction was completed on Marcus's new place, Thistle would move in with him, and Landon would move in with me. It was exciting, and altogether freaky to consider. Seriously, when did I become an adult? Only adults move in with their boyfriends. Wait. We were talking about something, weren't we?
I totally forgot about that.
What were we saying? I asked, turning my attention back to Mom. Mom scorched me with a disgusted look.
Really? If I didn't know any better, I'd think you'd been in Aunt Tilly's stash. That's who I'm looking for, by the way, Aunt Tilly. She's your great aunt, in case you've forgotten and need a refresher. She's about 5 feet tall and constantly in trouble.
Aunt Tilly's stash happened to be a huge pile of potent pot, which she'd just happened to harvest about a month ago. She then proceeded to hide it from everyone. Not that we were looking or anything, mind you. I'm moving in with an FBI agent, for crying out loud. I don't care about my great aunt's marijuana harvest. Okay, I don't care very much about the harvest. Supposedly, if word on the street is correct, it's something to behold this year.
I haven't seen Aunt Tilly, I answered. She was around this morning before I left for work, but I haven't seen her since.
Which is exactly how we like things, Thistle added. We like it when we don't see that woman. There's a reason we rejoice when she comes up with a project. Although, to be fair,
Thistle broke off and tapped her bottom lip, staring out the library window, lost in thought.
Where did your head just go? Mom challenged, annoyed. If you know where Aunt Tilly is, I want to know right now.
I don't know where Aunt Tilly is, Thistle answered hurriedly, running a hand through her short cropped orange hair. She decided to go festive for the fall holiday season and wouldn't change things up until she decided on a Christmas color. I was fairly certain green would be the winning hue, and only partially because her mother complained when she dyed her hair shades of blue or green.
You know something, Mom challenged. You must have some idea where she is, otherwise you wouldn't have added the although part.
Thistle tugged on her bottom lip as she risked a glance at me. That's when I realized she might actually know something. I had no idea what that was, but if she was keeping it to herself, it must be good.
We honestly haven't seen her, I added.
If Mom found out Thistle was lying and knew what Aunt Tilly was up to, I could still get away with minimal punishment because I honestly didn't have a clue what was going on. If we see her, though, we'll send her your way.
Mom narrowed her eyes, suspicious.
She pretends she knows when we're lying. She even goes so far as to announce it at odd times, but she rarely does. I've been accused of making things up when I'm telling the truth so many times I've lost count.
Mom finally exhaled heavily and turned on her heel. Fine. When you see Aunt Tilly, tell her I'm looking for her.
Yes, and I'm sure that will make her come running, Thistle whispered, amused.
I heard that, Thistle, Mom barked. You send her to us right away. Don't bother trying to entice her to play games or anything. She has to help us first.
Thistle rolled her eyes so hard I worried she would rock the chair she perched in.
Yes, because we often try to entice Aunt Tilly to play games with us. Except we never do that.
Mom ignored Thistle's brewing diatribe.
You might not believe it, but that's what you're doing every single time you pick a fight with her. It simply makes you feel better to believe she's to blame for everything and you're some innocent angel.
Thistle stared blankly in my direction until she was sure Mom was out of hearing distance.
You don't think that's true, do you?
That Aunt Tilly will hide rather than help Mom with whatever she has going in the kitchen? I think Aunt Tilly hates working in the kitchen.
Not that, Thistle scoffed, waving her hand. The part about me picking fights with Aunt Tilly because it's part of a game? That's not true, right?
Oh, well, I had no idea how to answer, so I shifted my eyes to an oil painting on the wall.
That thing is dusty. We should clean it or something.
You suck, Thistle muttered, her tone low and dangerous. I'll make you eat dirt for that one.
I opened my mouth to plead my case to the contrary, even though I was certain I wouldn't be able to put much effort behind it. But I was cut short when the front door opened and let in a blast of chilly air. There he was, Landon Michaels, FBI agent extraordinaire, and my soon-to-be roommate.
Wait, that sounds way too Three's Company. I don't want to use the L word, that would be lover in this instance, because that's too cheesy. I'm going to have to come up with something to call him because boyfriend is too middle school and soulmate is too romance novel.
Decisions, decisions.
Hi, sweetie.
Landon pasted a bright smile on his face when he saw me, breezed into the room and dropped a kiss on my forehead as he removed his leather gloves. He glanced at Thistle, found her pouting, and accepted her dark expression as if it were normal.
Hey, evil one, how are you?
Thistle dragged her eyes from me and focused on Landon for the first time since he came through the door.
Did you say something? I greeted you with charm and humility.
Landon teased, amused.
What were you just thinking about? I have a feeling it's not good. Maybe we should skip dinner and hop into bed early for the weekend, bae. Because Thistle looks as if she has mayhem in her mind, and I'm too tired for mayhem. How does that sound?
I shrugged. I'd heard worse offers. Heck, I was fairly certain my mother would offer something outright terrible if she didn't find Aunt Tilly in the next few minutes. Mom made pot roast.
Oh.
Landon's smile slipped.
Okay, scratch that. I can't live without the pot roast.
And here I thought you couldn't live without me, I smirked, laughing as he slid into the spot next to me and wrapped his arms around my shoulders. I was worried you might not make it until later because of the weather.
It's not terrible out,
Landon said, shifting to tug off his jacket.
The wind is blowing hard, and the rain is going to turn into freezing drizzle before the night is out. I left early enough to make sure I arrived before it got too bad.
That's good. I rested my hand on his chest, earning an odd look. I just mean that no matter how much I'd miss you if you couldn't make it back for the weekend, I wouldn't want you to risk your life on icy roads.
Oh, that's sweet, bae.
Landon gripped my hand and lifted my fingers to press a kiss to them.
I would have figured out a way to make it here no matter what, though. I don't care if I would have had to rent a snowmobile.
I widened my eyes, surprised. You would have rented a snowmobile?
I can't go without my bay fix.
Landon pulled me close, shooting a challenging look in Thistle's direction when she rolled her eyes and mimed barfing.
Do you have a problem?
You guys are so gross, you make me want to toss whatever cookies Mom and the aunts are baking, Thistle replied. I didn't realize we were in for an all-schmaltz weekend.
Next time, I'll provide you with a schedule when I have a schmaltz weekend on my agenda.
Landon's tone was even, despite Thistle's expression. He was used to Thistle's attitude, and remained largely unflappable when she threatened to derail the Winchester Express train to weekend relaxation and bliss.
That would be great, Thistle deadpanned. Then I can plan to be out of the guest house so I don't have to witness the schmaltz volcano.
Landon remained stoic.
Well, this will probably be the last schmaltz extravaganza before we shift living arrangements. You'll be moving in about a month, right after Christmas, if I remember correctly. And I've already started transporting things from my apartment.
We hadn't taken the decision to move in together lightly. However, as soon as we both agreed and made up after a huge fight, Landon wasted no time when it came to packing his things. The first weekend after agreeing to move in together, he arrived with a vehicle full of boxes. He was excited, which made me even more excited. And, Thistle was right about this turning into a schmaltz extravaganza.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, I admitted, resting my hand on Landon's knee.
Would you be upset if we had one more horror movie night before the big move? We want to invite Clove over and everything.
I'm fine with that.
Landon studied me for a moment, his eyes conflicted.
You know you can do that when we live together, right? I can lock myself in the bedroom, and you guys can do whatever it is you do when you have slumber parties.
I can guarantee we don't get in sexy lingerie and have pillow fights, Thistle offered.
Landon extended a warning finger.
Don't ruin it for me. Do you have to be such a kvetch?
Thistle narrowed her eyes, annoyed. That was Aunt Tilly's favorite word for Cousin Clove. Thistle hated it when anyone used it to refer to her.
I am not a kvetch.
Landon didn't appear bothered by the shift in her demeanor.
If the kvetch fits.
Don't do that, I warned, wagging a finger when Landon launched a lazy smile and Thistle shifted in her chair, giving the impression that she was ready to pounce. There's no reason to start a fight when it's completely unnecessary.
Oh, I thought that was the Winchester way, Landon teased, flashing me a wink as he relaxed. Fine, Thistle. I apologize for calling you a kvetch.
Thank you, Landon, Thistle shot back primly. I accept your kind apology.
I bit the inside of my cheek to keep from laughing at their serious expressions. Oh, whatever, you guys aren't fooling anyone. It's not like it really matters anyway. I turned my attention to Landon as he snagged my wine glass and took an exaggerated drink. Do you have any work to do this weekend, or is it all fun, games, and pajamas? Landon arched an eyebrow, amused.
You want to go through the entire weekend wearing nothing but our pajamas?
Do you have a problem with that?
I would prefer to do it naked, but that will have to wait until this one moves out.
Landon jerked a thumb in Thistle's direction.
That reminds me, I've got to schedule a locksmith to change the locks once I officially move in. I don't want to risk anyone but me seeing you naked. Is that because you think it will traumatize us? Thistle challenged.
That's because I don't want to ruin everyone else for all other men, when I can clearly only handle Bay, Landon replied. Of course, there are times when I can't handle Bay, so...
What was I saying?
You were telling me if you had any work for this weekend, I prodded.
Oh, right. I don't have any work other than reading through a few files, but I can do that in bed after you fall asleep, or in front of the fire tomorrow. It's supposed to be cold all weekend, so we should gear up with snacks or something.
You're a very food-oriented person, Thistle interjected. Has anyone ever told you that?
Why do you think I fell for Bay?
Landon replied, unruffled.
She's the only person I know who smells like bacon on a regular basis. She's practically the perfect woman.
I balked. Because I smell like bacon?
Because you're you, and you occasionally smell like bacon on top of that, Landon clarified. I can guarantee that no woman has ever been more perfect than you because of a multitude of qualities, not just one thing.
Nice save, Thistle drawled.
I do my best.
Landon's tone was dry as he leaned back on the couch, the corners of his mouth tipping up when the front door opened and Aunt Tilly crept inside. She didn't immediately look at us. Her short cap of grayish-black curls were tucked under a knit cap, giving her a youthful vibrancy that lightened my heart. She wore gloves and carried a backpack over her right shoulder, treading lightly as she shut the door and kicked off her boots. It took her a few moments to notice us, and when she did, her expression was unreadable.
You never saw me!
And with those words, she disappeared into the inn.
I'm almost afraid to know what's in the bag,
Landon admitted. He didn't appear keen to follow Aunt Tilly, and instead remained on the couch.
It's probably something illegal.
At least it's not a dead body, Thistle offered. The bag was too small to hold a dead body.
There is that,
Landon conceded, tipping back his glass of wine to drain it.
Thank that goddess you guys are always dancing naked to for small favors, right? So, who wants to get drunk?
I considered fighting the effort, but ultimately could not come up with a reason to do so. I do, but I want to switch to mixed drinks so it will happen faster.
Now you're thinking.
Landon smacked a loud kiss against my lips.
I'll get the bourbon, you get the sour mix.
And people say we don't know how to celebrate the holiday season in style. Thistle teased. We know exactly how to enjoy the spirits of the season.
I think those are different spirits,
Landon pointed out.
Thistle scowled. Don't ruin things.
Right. Bourbon, it is.
I wish I had more than one spot on the top of my list, because there are times I want to put all of you there together, and then drop a bomb and see which of you comes out alive. I think it sounds like a fun social experiment.
Aunt Tilly explaining her philosophy on family.
2. So, what's going on around these parts this weekend?
Landon asked, holding out my chair until I sat and then claiming the open seat next to me. He nodded and turned to the guests, the inn was full this weekend, before focusing on Aunt Tilly and lowering his voice.
What did you have in that bag?
Aunt Tilly was the picture of serenity. She sipped her glass of wine while feigning confusion.
What bag?
The bag you snuck in with while we were in the library.
I recall no such bag. Perhaps you were mistaken.
Landon pursed his lips. Aunt Tilly was a master of lying when the occasion called for it. Like my suspicious boyfriend, I couldn't help but wonder what was in the bag. I'd lived with Aunt Tilly long enough to realize that sometimes not knowing is better, though. Landon hadn't quite learned that life lesson yet. He always wanted to know, even when he loathed the answer to the question.
I saw you,
Landon pressed.
You snuck in with a big bag and then disappeared upstairs. Did you have something illegal in there?
What were you doing outside?
Mom asked, suspicion ratcheting up a notch. I had no idea if she found Aunt Tilly after her search an hour earlier, but she didn't look to be in a very good mood. That didn't bode well for Aunt Tilly. She's not afraid of anyone, except my mother when she puts on her stern face.
It's cold out there, and you said you were going to be reading in your room.
Aunt Tilly shot Landon a death glare before turning a sweet smile to Mom.
I was in my room.
Were you reading?
Thistle asked. She should know better than to interject herself between Mom and Aunt Tilly, but much like Landon, she never learns.
Is that what was in the bag? Was it books?
There was no bag, Mouth.
Aunt Tilly shot back, annoyed. Then, without missing a beat, she turned around Mom's suspicion and went on the offensive.
Why do you always assume that I'm up to something nefarious? Did it ever occur to you that I was actually doing what I said I was doing?
Not for a second, Mom replied without hesitation. I went up to your room looking for you because we're out of taro root, and I need it for a recipe this weekend. You weren't there.
Perhaps you didn't see me.
Aunt Tilly was all faux innocence and light.
I'm a very small woman. I seem to be shrinking with age. Perhaps you merely looked past me without realizing it.
I snorted into my bourbon, averting her gaze when Aunt Tilly scorched me with a dark look. The last thing I wanted to do on a cold weekend was get involved in any of Aunt Tilly's shenanigans. Whatever she was up to, she was on her own.
Really? That's your story?
Mom reached for the bottle of wine. Instead of pouring it into a smaller wine glass, she completely filled her large water glass.
You make me tired.
That should be the family motto, Thistle suggested.
We should have t-shirts made up and everything.
Shut up, Thistle, Mom barked. Wow, she really was in a bad mood. Do you have a headache or something? Mom didn't bother meeting my gaze.
Just her.
She jerked her thumb at Aunt Tilly. She said she was going to be upstairs reading, and now I hear she was outside and returned with a huge bag. We all know this won't end well.
Oh, good, the dinner theater's starting right on time,
one of the guests whispered, exchanging an excited look with another inn occupant.
I hope it's an entertaining show like the Zagat Review promised.
The Winchester family, despite our best efforts to the contrary, was rather famous for our determination to hash out our differences over family meals. Word spread fast and far, former guests referring to it as dinner theater. We earned quite the reputation in bed and breakfast circles.
You're such a worrier, Aunt Tilly complained. I'll have you know I was out Christmas shopping. There. Are you happy? You ruined my surprise. That's what I was doing. And you horrific busybodies couldn't just let me have my holiday fun.
You're so full of crap, the toilet just went on strike, Thistle said, earning snickers from the guests. Sadly, even as Thistle preened, I knew that wasn't a good thing. She likes playing to her audience and forgets that the referee is cantankerous and often all-powerful when she sets her mind to it. Thistle would only make things worse if left to her own devices when warring with Aunt Tilly.
You were Christmas shopping?
Mom was understandably dubious as she cocked an eyebrow.
It's not even December. Since when do you do your shopping in November? Since when do you actually shop?
Thistle added.
Last year you pulled a pair of old socks out of your dresser and told me you bought them at a vintage store. Maybe that's because all you earned was old socks,
Aunt Tilly challenged.
Okay, let's not argue.
Landon rubbed his forehead, and I worried the overdose of bourbon and snark would lead to a hangover and derail our weekend fun.
As long as she's not doing anything illegal, I don't really care what was in the bag.
Oh, well, thank you, Aunt Tilly deadpanned. I love how you swoop in to tell us we're being unreasonable after you started the entire mess.
I did not,
Landon protested.
You did so, and you're on my list.
Aunt Tilly extended a craggy finger.
I would put you at the top, but that position is reserved for Thistle until the new year.
Oh, man.
Thistle made an exaggerated face.
I wish Marcus was here. He always puts Aunt Tilly in a good mood.
Speaking of Marcus, where is he? I asked, hoping to guide the conversation in a safer direction. I thought he would be here tonight.
They're putting drywall on the upstairs apartment for us at the new barn,
Thistle replied,
and he felt the need to watch them. Apparently, he thinks they'll do it wrong if he's not watching. If I knew he was down there, I would have stopped and seen him when I hit town,
Landon said.
Instead, I visited Chief Terry to make sure I wouldn't be called away unless it was absolutely necessary this weekend.
So our pajama weekend is on? I asked, hopefully. Landon smirked.
It's on.
I don't even want to know what you two are talking about,
Mom sighed.
They're talking about sex,
Aunt Tilly announced.
That's all they talk about.
She slid a triumphant smirk in Landon's direction when he narrowed his eyes.
That's what you get for tattling.
Landon rolled his eyes as he leaned back into his chair.
It's supposed to be a cold and rainy weekend. They and I want to spend some time alone. I was simply checking with Chief Terry to see if that would be an option.
Yeah, he's a good boy, Thistle teased. Landon ignored her.
Chief Terry says it's been quiet all week. He's expecting something terrible to happen because Hemlock Cove is never quiet for long. I plan to turn off my phone in case he's right.
I knew he would do nothing of the sort. He's far too diligent, after all, but it was a nice thought. I heard a few odd stories when I was at the newspaper office, I admitted, as I dunked a roll into the pot roast gravy. Franklin Kish claims he saw a naked woman dancing in the field by his house. Of course, he was drunk at the time, so he probably imagined it, or wished for it, because he's kind of a dirty old man. Thistle giggled, amused.
That's funny, because that would be his dream scenario. That old codger is a total pervert. He once asked me if I was wearing a bra. Then, when I said I was, he asked me if I would show it to him to prove it.
I snorted at the visual. Yeah, he once told me that he missed the days of women wearing regular panties because thongs made his head go to a dirty place, and he never wanted to leave that dirty place, so he would sleep for 12 hours a day if he had the option.
He sounds like a real winner,
Landon said dryly. Oh, you have nothing to worry about, I teased, patting his knee under the table. He has a crush on Aunt Tilly. He always has.
You should wear those leggings you bought a few weeks ago out to his place,
Landon suggested.
I'm guessing that he's your target audience.
Don't bring up those leggings again, Mom warned, waving a finger. It took us forever to track them all down and confiscate them. I still maintain you're overreacting about that, Aunt Tilly argued. They're not indecent. They sell them over the internet. You can't sell indecent things over the internet. Everyone knows that.
Landon's mouth swished as he fought to contain a smile.
Yes, well, right you are.
He moved his hand to the back of my neck and gave it an idle rub.
Chief Terry said that other than a few complaints that make no sense, things are quiet. I hope they stay that way.
Did he say what complaints he got that made no sense? I asked, genuinely curious. I might be able to turn them into a fun story.
I wasn't listening all that hard,
Landon admitted.
I wanted to hear that nothing big was going on. And when he admitted that, I kind of tuned him out.
That's the man for you,
Aunt Tilly complained, shaking her head.
He only cares about himself.
What was in that bag again?
Landon challenged, causing Aunt Tilly to scowl.
You're definitely bucking for the top spot on my list,
Aunt Tilly grumbled.
Maybe I need to make two lists so I can have two top spots, one for men and one for women.
Yes, well, as long as you punish me with a bacon-flavored girlfriend, I'm fine with that,
Landon said, averting his gaze when I scolded him with a dirty look. He was well aware of my disdain for the bacon curse. Aunt Tilly was a powerful witch and could punish us any way she saw fit. She often let embarrassment serve as her magical yardstick when it came to payback, and she was well aware of Landon's adoration when it came to the bacon curse.
In fact, it would be a great weekend for you to punish me if you're in a vengeful mood.
I'll keep it in mind,
Aunt Tilly said dryly, her eyes contemplative as she pondered something.
What kinds of things did Chief Terry say were happening around town?
Why?
Landon was focused on his pot roast and didn't bother looking up.
You didn't do anything, did you?
No, but I'm curious. I like a good laugh at other people's expense. I'll vouch for that,
Thistle offered.
You'll vouch for it again this weekend if you're not careful, Mouse,
Aunt Tilly snapped.
You're seriously on my last nerve.
Thistle waved off the admonishment.
I've been standing on that nerve since I was 5. It's clearly not going anywhere. It's like a cockroach. It will survive anything. Yeah, you're definitely at the top of the list,
Aunt Tilly spat. I decided to wade into the snark bog before things got out of hand. I heard another one when I was grabbing coffee at the bakery, I supplied. Mrs. Gunderson said that Tatiana Pratt was walking around in a tiara and proclaiming herself a princess. That's not dangerous or anything, but apparently she refused to take off the tiara and said that princesses don't serve food at diners.
Who's Tatiana Pratt?
Landon asked. She's a teenager who works at the diner.
Aunt Marnie answered.
She's always had a princess fetish since she was a small kid. It's beyond annoying.
Clove had a princess fetish, too.
Thistle pointed out, referring to her absent third cousin, who abstained from dinner for the evening. She was Marnie's daughter.
You bought her a tiara for Christmas one year, and she wouldn't stop talking about it for weeks.
Okay, Thistle, now you're on my list,
Marnie muttered, shaking her head.
Why do you always have to be such a pain?
She was born that way,
Aunt Tilly replied, reaching for a roll.
Is that all? Have you heard any other weird stories?
Something niggled the back of my brain as I turned my full attention to Aunt Tilly. Why are you so interested in these stories?
Because they make me laugh.
Aunt Tilly answered the question almost immediately, but there was something off about the way she avoided eye contact. I couldn't help but be suspicious. She's Aunt Tilly, after all. But I could hardly accuse her of something, especially when I wasn't sure anything was actually going on.
But Aunt Tilly cut me off with a wave of her hand. Someone pass me more wine. I have a feeling it's going to be a long night.
She wasn't the only one. Landon passed out fairly quickly once he stripped down to his boxer shorts and climbed into bed. He left his Explorer at the inn, proclaiming himself too drunk to drive, and we walked to the guest house despite the icy chill hanging over the night sky. We would claim the Explorer in the morning, so it wasn't a big deal, other than the freezing walk, of course. I was mildly disappointed that he lost consciousness so quickly, but I didn't begrudge him his rest. I was certain he would make it up to me in the morning. I settled in bed next to him, smiling as he instinctively cuddled closer and rested a hand on my abdomen. He would sleep hard, I could tell by the even tone of his breathing. He'd been gone most of the week for work, and I couldn't help but wonder if he'd dealt with something serious while away. We talked every night on the phone, and he was jovial and pleasant, but suspicion stalked me when I recognized his exhaustion. I traced the lines of his hand as he slept, staring at the ceiling as I willed sleep to claim me. Instead, a flickering shadow on the other side of the window caught my attention. I shrugged it off as the wind rustling a bush, until it happened a second time. I was careful not to wake Landon when I got out of bed, shuffling to the window and peering outside to see if I could catch sight of whatever was causing the movement. I scanned the ground and immediate foliage first, coming up empty. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw another flash of movement and jerked my eyes to the area over by Aunt Tilly's special garden. There, silhouetted against the moon, was a dark figure. It flew back and forth, too big to be a bird and too small to be an airplane. I squinted as I tried to make out identifying features, my heart dropping when I realized what I saw. I turned immediately to wake Landon, but he ignored my hand when it landed on his shoulder. Landon, there's someone outside.
The door is locked,
he murmured, his eyes screwed shut.
It's probably Marcus.
No, I mean there's someone outside flying.
I swallowed hard as I gritted out the last word. It sounded ridiculous, even to my own ears.
Maybe Aunt Tilly had a broom in her bag. She's probably pretending to be Harry Potter or something,
Landon said, his voice thick with sleep. But I darted a look out the window again, frowning at the now empty sky above the field.
Come to bed, Bay,
Landon prodded.
There's nothing out there. You probably had a dream.
I knew that wasn't the case, but I did as he asked, rolling to rest my chin on his chest. I swear, someone was out there, flying.
I'll send you flying in the morning.
He tightened his grip on me.
Sleep, sweetie. We'll have bacon and talk about it in the morning.
Sometimes I wish I could cook, because you're a little obsessed with food. Then I realized that I get the best of both worlds when my mother cooks. You get the food, and I reap the rewards of your digestive euphoria and occasional food coma. There's no going wrong in that scenario. Bay explaining to Landon why she never learned to cook. 3.
Morning.
Landon watched me with heavy-lidded eyes as I woke. He was snuggly and in no hurry to leave the bed, his hand heavy on my hip.
Despite my very busy dreams, a multitude of men flying over Aunt Tilly's pot field, where she used marijuana as a form of kryptonite to bring them down like hobbled birds, I'd slept fairly hard and wasn't in a hurry to greet the day. Good morning. Landon brushed his lips against my forehead and stretched before returning his arm to my waist.
I feel so much better after a good night's sleep. For some reason, I don't sleep well when I'm away from you.
I lifted my eyebrows, surprised. He's mushy when he wants to be, but rarely starts out the day with anything other than bacon worship and sexual innuendo. Is that what's bothering you?
What makes you think something is bothering me?
Because you were exhausted last night. I saw no reason to deflect or pretend I wasn't worried. You drank more than usual, and then you couldn't wait to get into bed. You didn't even try to play any tickling games. Landon made an odd sound in the back of his throat, something between a snort and a groan.
I love you dearly, woman, but it drives me crazy when you make something out of nothing.
I'm not making something out of nothing. Shh. Landon pressed his fingers to my lips.
I was tired, Bay. I didn't sleep well while I was away. That's another reason I'll be happy when this move is complete. Then every night I'll sleep well because I'll be with you.
It was a sweet sentiment, yet I couldn't completely discard my misgivings. Won't you have to stay in a hotel while on a case at times? Landon nodded.
That will be the exception rather than the rule.
Your commute will be 2 hours each day, I pointed out.
Oh, jeez.
Landon pinched the bridge of his nose as he rolled away from me and stared at the ceiling.
Are we going to have a serious discussion to start off our pajama weekend? That's so not how I envision this visit going.
I'm just worried about you, I admitted after a beat. You were so tired last night you didn't even care that someone was flying over Aunt Tilly's special field. I refrained from calling it a pot field because Landon's eye twitched whenever I openly referred to my great aunt breaking the law.
What?
Landon knit his eyebrows as he considered the statement.
Is that what you were babbling about before we went to sleep?
Excuse me, but I don't babble. The answer to your question is yes, though. I swear I saw someone flying over the field last night.
Uh-huh.
Landon slipped his hand under the covers and searched for my fingers.
Sweetie, have you considered that you had a dream and when you woke up, you thought you were still in it?
No, because I never fell asleep, I answered, my irritation bubbling up. I was too busy wondering if you had a hard case and that's why you were so exhausted. Then I felt guilty because I should have offered you a massage before you fell asleep. Then I let my imagination really get away with me and wondered if you didn't tell me about your hard case because you didn't trust me. So you see, I never fell asleep. So I didn't imagine the person flying over the field. That would show him. Landon widened his eyes to comical proportions.
Wow, your head is a very scary place sometimes, sweetie. Okay, where do I start? I did have a hard case last week, but it was hardly worse than any previous case, and easier in a lot of respects. It was a bank fraud job that caused me to spend 8 hours a day looking at piles of numbers. It was annoying, but nowhere near difficult enough to give me an ulcer. Secondly, the massage would have been nice, but I was so tired that I wouldn't have been able to enjoy it.
He continued.
You can give me the massage tonight. Now don't bother arguing, now you've mentioned it, and I want it.
I tried to swallow my smirk and failed.
As for the rest of it, the part about me not telling you because I don't trust you, that's freaking out there.
Landon's tone was firm.
If I needed to talk it through, you would be the first person I'd call. It was a fraud case. Not only was it boring, it was also monotonous and would have ruined our nightly calls. I was tired because I packed all week and slept alone.
He continued.
That means I tossed and turned because I didn't have your snoring to lull me to sleep. And before you say you don't snore, remember that I took video of you during it, and I will show it to people if you're not careful. There's nothing nefarious going on here, Bay, he said. I was tired because I had a long week.
I pressed my lips together, embarrassed. Okay. The word was barely a whisper when it escaped.
Okay? No, you need to apologize and get me some bacon to make me feel better.
Landon's eyes lit with mirth when I scowled.
I'm fine, Bay. I was simply tired from looking at numbers all week.
I'm sorry. I can't stop myself from imagining the worst sometimes.
Why?
Because I'm happy, and I feel as if something bad is going to happen to wipe away that happiness if I'm not careful. It feels somehow inevitable.
Landon was silent as he considered the statement.
To my surprise, he slipped his arm under my waist and tugged me on top of him, rather than admonishing me.
I think it's normal for people to worry about stuff like that sometimes, so I'm going to let it go.
I didn't bother to hide my surprise. Are you saying that I'm off the hook?
You were never on the hook.
Landon kissed the tip of my nose.
You're allowed to worry. Next time, if you need to talk it out, I'd prefer if you called me instead of letting it build for days and then dumping it on me. That's a small quibble, though.
He had a point. Still, I didn't realize I was letting it build up, I admitted. I heard how tired you were when we were talking on the phone, and I kind of pushed it out of my mind until you passed out, and didn't care that there was a guy flying over the property.
Landon shook his head, amused.
Bae, no one was flying over the property. You dreamt it, or imagined it, or perhaps even a combination of both. But just for my curiosity, how do you know it was a guy?
He had broad shoulders and short hair.
So does Sissel.
A hysterical giggle escaped as Landon tickled me and rolled on top of me.
I'm going to tell Sissel you said that, I gasped, trying to evade his insistent fingers.
Go ahead. She has her hands full being at the top of Aunt Tilly's list. I'm not afraid of Sissel.
Those are bold words.
I can back them up.
Landon smacked a loud kiss on my lips.
Now, we've had our serious talk and even survived a side journey into the surreal. To make the morning complete, we need some loving and some bacon. What order do you want to do those in? By the way, if you say you want to combine those, no one will ever love you more than me.
I'm pretty sure that's already true. Landon tilted his head to the side, his long hair dipping below his shoulder.
Good point. Loving it is. I'll use the bacon to replenish my spent energy once we're done.
That sounds like a plan. By the time we hit the inn, we were both in good spirits. Landon chased me from the guest house to the overlook, ostensibly to get our blood rushing to survive the long walk in the chilly air. But I had a feeling it was really because he was feeling frisky. We were full of laughter when we let ourselves into the family living quarters through the back door. Our good moods lasted until we ran into Aunt Tilly. She sat in the middle of the couch, a thick book open on her lap, and stared at the morning news anchor as they regurgitated the local news. She seemed entranced by whatever they said, and it took me a moment to realize she was dressed in normal clothes and shoes.
Are you sick?
I blurted out the question before I thought better of asking it. Aunt Tilly might take it as an insult. I didn't want to be anywhere near the top of her list, especially before breakfast.
What? No.
Aunt Tilly jerked her head in our direction, seemingly surprised to see us.
When did you get here?
Okay, now I was certain something was going on with her. She was out of it. Are you okay? I rounded the corner of the couch and pressed my hand to her forehead before she could mount an argument. You don't feel warm.
I'm not sick,
Aunt Tilly sputtered, annoyed. She narrowed her eyes as she regarded me with cold detachment.
Why do you think I'm sick? I'm old, not decrepit.
It has nothing to do with your age, I replied, scratching my cheek. It's just you didn't hear us come in. You usually insult Landon every morning before we head into the kitchen. You were watching the news instead of making fun of the anchors.
Well, they weren't nearly as stupid this morning as they usually are, Aunt Tilly sniffed.
You're not wearing leggings, or a combat helmet, or army boots,
Landon added. He looked mildly worried himself.
You were up to something last night, too, and I doubt very much it had anything to do with Christmas shopping.
Oh, you're so smart, Aunt Tilly rolled her eyes. How did we ever survive before we had your deductive skills at our beck and call?
Landon remained unmoved by the insult.
Are you in trouble?
No.
Are you going to get in trouble before the day is out?
No.
Fine, we'll leave you to it.
Landon grabbed my hand and jerked me toward the kitchen.
If you get arrested, I want you to remember this moment. I offered you help and you said you didn't need it. I won't come swooping in later to save you.
Aunt Tilly made a very unladylike sound in her throat. It reminded me of a very old cat that had hairball issues.
We both know that's not true.
All three of us knew that it wasn't true, but I decided to let it go.
I followed Landon through the kitchen and settled at the dining room table in time to see Mom, Marnie, and Twyla putting out all the morning fixings. Thistle and Marcus were suspiciously absent, but the guests were excitable and raring to go.
It's going to be a big day, right?
The woman who asked the question, I was fairly certain she introduced herself as Erin Ackerman the night before, had sparkling blue eyes and was aflutter with eagerness. It is, I confirmed, bobbing my head.
Why is it going to be a big day?
Landon asked, tossing at least 8 slices of bacon on his plate before handing the platter to me.
What's going on in Hemlock Cove this weekend?
We have a festival, Twyla replied.
Hemlock Cove always has a festival,
Landon pointed out.
What festival are we dealing with this week? Are we worshiping turkeys, potatoes, or pumpkin pie?
Put them all together and you have the best festival ever, I teased, grinning when he squeezed my knee under the table. Give me a bite of your bacon. Landon's smile slipped.
Get your own bacon.
I thought you said you would give me the world, I challenged. You said you loved me more than anything. I think that deserves some bacon.
The platter's right there.
I want your bacon. Landon tugged on his bottom lip, clearly sensing a trap.
This is some whacked-out woman crap I'm never going to understand, isn't it? He muttered, sliding half his bacon onto my plate. Are you happy?
I nodded, pushing the bacon platter in his direction. I was simply curious about if you would actually do it.
And since your mother never runs out of bacon, that's why I did it, Landon muttered, grabbing 6 new slices for his plate. Women are freaking crazy sometimes. I don't get you guys.
Word, Aunt Tilly intoned, taking her seat at the head of the table.
I don't get them either.
Oh, well, now I'm terrified that we agree on something, Landon said.
Don't get your panties in a wad, because I don't understand men either, Aunt Tilly offered. I only understand myself. In fact, there are times I believe I'm the only rational person in the universe.
Oh, well, that's just...
Landon didn't finish the sentence, instead stuffing 2 full slices of bacon into his mouth and focusing on chewing. I was amused despite the childish nature of their interaction. To answer your question, it's just a small festival this week, I volunteered. The biggest attraction will be the new wishing well. Landon arched an eyebrow and swallowed.
Wishing well? I would have thought Hemlock Cove already had a wishing well.
We did, a long time ago, I replied. It had to be sealed because it was deep and the walls were crumbling. People kept trying to climb inside to steal the coins.
Yes, Paul Abernathy, Aunt Tilly intoned. He was a freaking idiot. You remind me of him a little, Landon.
Landon ignored the jab.
So you're getting a new wishing well, and you're having a ceremony or something for it?
I nodded. We're unveiling it today.
Does that mean you have to cover it for the Whistler?
The Whistler is the newspaper where I spend my working days. Recently I'd gone from editor to owner, although that was still a learning process. It essentially meant I did everything I did before, including writing articles, plus handled advertising issues. Most of the articles amounted to little more than fluff pieces, but occasionally I covered something larger. I hope that wouldn't be the case this weekend. I assigned the event to a photographer, but I'll probably have to at least stop by for a few color quotes, I admitted, uncomfortable. I know that cuts into your pajama plans, but I didn't realize before, and I forgot last night, and now I'm kind of caught.
It's fine. Landon winked to reassure me. They'll have hot chocolate and donuts, right?
I nodded.
Always. Then I'm good.
Are you sure? If you want to hang back and take a nap, I'll totally understand. Landon made a frustrated sound deep in his throat as he shook his head.
I'm going with you. I slept 10 hours last night. I'm good.
Okay, but you might have to toss a coin in the well and make a wish. Everyone attending is expected to do that.
I'm sure I can figure out something to wish for.
I'm guessing it will be bacon, Mom said, shaking her head when she realized Landon's plate was empty.
That shows how much you know, Landon teased. I'm wishing for Bay to turn into a slice of bacon. That's completely different.
Don't you dare!
Aunt Tilly's vehemence took everyone by surprise, and when I risked a glance in her direction, I realized her knuckles were white because she gripped her utensils so hard.
Aunt Tilly, are you okay?
Twyla asked, concern etching her features.
Do you feel sick to your stomach?
Aunt Tilly recovered quickly. She always did, of course, and when she spoke again, she appeared calm.
I was just messing around with the man, she offered. It's one of the little games we play.
Landon stared at her for a few moments, his face unreadable. Finally, he relaxed and reached for the bacon platter.
Yes, I do love our games. I love them almost as much as donuts and hot chocolate.
I forced worry for Aunt Tilly out of my mind and focused on Landon. They'll have warm pie, too.
And we have a winner.
Landon's smile was sloppy as he chewed.
I love this wackadoodle town. You guys will celebrate anything, and pie is almost always part of the celebration. I can't wait to live here full time.
I wish you would shove a towel in your mouth and stop that darn noise. You may think that's a conversational tone, but all I hear is blah, blah. I think I'll whine for a few minutes, blah.
Aunt Tilly warning 8-year-old Clove to be quiet while they stopped Mrs. Little.
4. Okay, I'm not going to lie. By Hemlock Cove standards, this is a very boring festival.
Landon glanced around the sparsely populated town square and made a face as I handed him a cup of hot chocolate.
I think you're spoiled because all the other festivals are so good, I countered. This festival simply can't live up to the lofty standards already set.
I miss the kissing booth.
Landon had a one-track mind when he's in a certain mood, and he was clearly in that mood today.
I think there's something magical about a town that actually creates a booth with the expressed interest of giving me a private place in the middle of chaos to make out with my girl.
I ran my tongue over my teeth as I cast a sidelong look in his direction. We can make out in the truck on the ride home if you're so inclined.
Don't make offers you're not willing to keep.
Who says I'm not going to keep it? Despite himself, Landon looked intrigued.
Okay, well, we have a plan. Hurry up and conduct your interview so we can get out of here. It hasn't even snowed yet, and I'm already freezing. I'm not a big fan of winter.
I noticed, I said dryly, my mind floating back to the previous winter. I remember the first time you were with Aunt Tilly when she plowed the snow. The corners of Landon's mouth tipped down.
Did you have to remind me of that?
Ugh, it's gonna give me nightmares. I couldn't help but snicker. He was adorable when he whined. You threatened to throw her in jail.
I haven't ruled out throwing that woman in jail, Landon cautioned. She's up to something right now, and I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
My mind traveled back to Aunt Tilly's weird behavior. I wanted to argue Landon's point, mostly because I was hoping to protect our private weekend time, but I couldn't deny his observation. She's definitely acting off. I can't figure it out. What do you think she had in the bag?
I would say Mrs. Little's body, but she's over there.
Landon pointed, and I followed the direction of his finger with my eyes, scowling when I saw the woman in question standing across the way. She was dressed in a fitted suit coat and high heels despite the chilly weather.
Why is she dressed like that?
I fought the urge to roll my eyes and say something nasty to boot, and sucked in a steadying breath. She's the star of the show today. There's no way she'd miss this. In addition to being Hemlock Cove's top porcelain unicorn statue seller, Margaret Little was also something of a Winchester family nemesis. Her dealings with my family went back to her youth, one she shared with Aunt Tilly, and continued through the decades since.
What do you mean?
Landon seemed legitimately curious when he turned, perching on the end of the picnic table and gesturing for me to move closer.
It won't be nearly as cold if we share body heat.
I knew what he was doing, bucking for a free grope in the middle of the town square when everyone was around and the chances of us getting caught were greater. But I was cold and didn't really care who figured out what we were doing. I slid between his legs and sighed as he rubbed his glove-covered hands over my arms. That's better.
It is,
Landon agreed, pressing his cold cheek against mine.
Tell me why this thing is Mrs. Little's show.
Oh, right. I crashed back to reality, even though Landon's proximity momentarily gave my mind a reason to wonder. The Wishing Well Project has been in the works for 3 years. I wasn't lying about the old well being a death trap. Someone lost their little dog down there when a kid made a wish on the Shih Tzu 1 year. It was an eyesore, too. At one time, the well was attached to the system that supplied water to the entire town, but that was a long time ago. I saw the water that they pulled out of there right before they took the vote to upgrade, I continued. You couldn't pay me to drink that stuff. The town council decided that the old well had to be filled in,
Not just boarded up, but filled in because it could be a liability otherwise. So we closed the old well about 2 years ago despite several residents putting up a fight because it was historic, I explained. Mrs. Little was one of those residents.